joining us right now from the San Diego Union Tribune, the one, the only Kevin Acey to help us out on all things Charger. Kevin, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for joining us from, I'm sure, beautiful San Diego. It's 108 here today. That's what's going to be the high. What's it looking like down there? Go ahead and piss us off.
We're not, this isn't the day. It isn't the normal day where I can just smugly act like it's not a big deal, but we got the best weather in the country. No, it's hot, it's humid, it's not 108, but it's kind of disgusting. And what happens when you have 360 beautiful days is those other 5 days really piss you off.
We really feel for you, because not only am I sitting here dealing with Sacramento heat, before I was here, I was in Phoenix, so I feel really, really bad for you.
It's a dry heat.
Yeah, it's probably like 90 today. But, you know, feels like 97.
Well, it's gonna.
That's all off the top of my head. How I did that. meteorological math.
Weather on the eights right here on KHDK. You know, we as Kings fans, and I was alluding to this before you joined us there, Kevin, that we understand this all too well, having dealt with possibly losing our team. Unfortunately, probably the biggest battle for the Chargers this year is going to come on election night, and that's not Clinton Trump. That's trying to figure out if they're really going to keep their team, and you put that with the arrival of the L.A. Rams. Talk to us a bit about that storyline.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's the dominant storyline, and it, while it has consumed us to a large extent for more than a year now, it really hasn't begun to develop in terms of the election. So the Chargers, on that November 8th ballot, there's an initiative for the largest public contribution tax increase in history. Now, it's a hotel tax, which is what the Chargers and their supporters will argue, is that it's all on out-of-towners. But, you know, because that's money that if the voters so chose, they could put into the general fund, and it would instead go for almost $1.2 billion toward the Chargers Stadium and a convention center. So, I can't even get into all the arguments about, people say, that convention center won't do any good. It's not right near the other convention center. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So anyway, all this bickering going on, and had this big process. You got LA looming over, and the campaign hasn't even started. Right now, here's what I'll tell you. It appears the Chargers need 2/3 approval to stay, to win this election. Right now, the polling is showing it's about 2/3 against them. So, not good, but again, the campaign hasn't started. We all know that polls can be a little off, whatever. Look, here's my thing I've been saying for a few months. It's not going to happen this year. Now, that's all I'll say definitively. They're going to lose this election. I don't necessarily think that means they move. I believe, and everything I'm saying here is educated guess, is the way I could put it. You know, I talk to a lot of people, so I'm not just pulling this out of my backside. Talking to a lot of people, I believe very strongly that the Rams, the NFL, want the Chargers to stay in San Diego. So I believe there will be another chance coming. Now, obviously, you've got the Raiders looking at Vegas. Are they in Vegas? Does that leave that L.A. spot open indefinitely? Or are the Raiders pushing to move to Los Angeles because, you know, they can't get anything done in Oakland? I'll tell you that's a point we should make, is what about the Raiders? But here's the deal. The NFL is going to tell the Raiders what to do.
Kevin, I'm interested in the fact that Joey Bosa still has yet to sign his contract, and it appears that the reason is just because of some language, which, when it all is said and done, comes down to the fact that if the Chargers were to cut him, that whatever he would make if he were to sign with another team would be deducted from what they're obligated to pay him. This is just standard contract language. What is the problem here?
It is standard contract language, and especially for the Chargers and several other teams that don't do it. Okay. Now, here's the thing, or I should say, they have the offset language in there. And when they teams that do not, that have the offset language, right, then they never don't have it. So for the Chargers to relent here would be setting a precedent that they're not going to set. Okay.
Right.
Other teams do it. Okay. And it's not a big deal to them, because here's what we're talking about is, and you've got a good handle on it, if he bails or if he's no good, right, and they cut him, whatever's left on his contract, they've got to pay anyway. Well, first-round draft pick, that's not going to happen. I mean, come on.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's something the Chargers are sticklers about, and here's the deal. I just want to point this out. The agency, and specifically the two agents that represent Joey Bosa, also represent the other two first-round draft picks that aren't signed.
Tom Condon, right?
That's CAA,
It's CAA. It's Todd France, and I believe it's Brian Arnott. But anyway, Todd France, a pretty big agent. CAA has now swallowed, you know, all the big agents have joined there, Condon, Sexton, France. And France represents all three of these guys. So, and it's, that's one of his selling points to clients is, hey, we're going to get you this.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, that's not a coincidence. That's what I'll say. I mean, you know, I'm with you. This is, and here's the deal. I'm generally with players on getting all that they can get. I don't begrudge them the money they make. The owner's making a lot of money. That's the name of the game. Okay. But this is one where veteran players will tell you, the kid will learn. Look, you come in, you get your $23 million guaranteed as the number three pick. You are the boss. Your agent works for you. A lot of rookies, they work for their agents. This agency is going to try to save face as much as they can, but eventually Joey Bosa will be in, and probably in the next couple of days.
So you think, given everything you just said, that yes, he will be signed?
He'll be signed. Okay. I mean, it would be so unprecedented. The kid wants to play football. The kid, you know, come on, he's going to play. This happened. Now, here's what you guys know this. What's unique about this is when we're talking about post-2011, post-CBA, this just doesn't happen anymore. That's why it is. Oh, there's three guys this year. That's weird. Oh, all three represented by the same agency. They made a big – decided they were going to make a stand, right? And you know what? To some extent, maybe this is a part of a trend. Von Miller made his stand, and he said that a part of that was for – players coming, non-quarterbacks coming after him. He wanted to get the most guaranteed money. He wanted to raise the bar. I mean, is that what this agency is trying to do? I don't know. 28 other first-rounders signed.
Kevin Acey, San Diego Union Tribune, joining us on KHTK. Let's shift over to the other side of the ball here. It's a 4-12 last year, but I mean, I'm seeing some pieces here, Kevin, on the offensive side. You still got Phillip Rivers, who could, I don't know, be an MVP-level quarterback on any given season. But, you know, the one guy that really stands out to me, Melvin Gordon, was a huge disappointment last year. What do you see from him going into year two? And, I mean, is he really the feature guy? And how much run is Danny Woodhead going to get behind him?
Virtually impossible to tell about Melvin Gordon because he started out last season. And he looked like a guy who could play in this league. He was tough to bring down, even at the end of the season. Once he kind of really, I think it was a head thing, and I based that on talking to a lot of people. He just sort of lost it last year. Their offensive line was in shambles, the kid just sort of lost it. There's signs that he can be a really, really good NFL running back. Will he justify having moved up two spots to pick at number 15 overall in 2015? I don't know. I guess there's increasing doubts about that. Didn't score a single touchdown last year. Danny Woodhead is a great luxury to have, but he should not be, you know, leading you in carries, rushing yards, and receptions. It just shouldn't be happening. That's a wonderful thing. I love Danny. I love him as a person. I love him watching him as a player, the little legs going, and he's just so darn tough. But that should not be happening, and that's a significant factor in why they were 4-12. So the answer to your question is a non-answer. Well, Melvin Gordon better be a lot better.
Kevin Acey writes for the San Diego Union Tribune. He joins us on KHDK. When you look at the Chargers schedule, and they got a fourth place schedule, which is how it should be, a little more parity there. They're done with their divisional road games by Halloween. And when you look at their home games, Jacksonville, New Orleans, Tennessee, Miami, Tampa Bay, I'm not trying to say they're going to win the Super Bowl or anything, but improving on 4-12 could be in the cards for them.
It sure seems like it. I mean, there's a couple teams in there that you would think are going to be good again. Question in the AFC West. I think parity in the AFC West. Are the Raiders going to be as good as, you know, some people projecting them? Heck, I've been bullish on the Raiders for a few years in terms of, you know, thinking that their defense was going to be better than it was, and they were going to be more of a force. Kansas City, I think it's kind of always a wild card. It's weird with Kansas City. They sure have some talent. And who's going to be the Denver quarterback, and how good will he be? I mean, their defense took a hit with Malik Jackson leaving. But, again, I don't know if that means that they're good or some 9-7 team wins the AFC West. I don't, and it is weird because that hasn't happened about the road games. And the interesting thing about that, too, when you talk – it's funny, I split the season. I split the season pre-election and post-election. So, you know, you've got to win in your division to make the playoffs. Every single year the Chargers have, they've been no worse than 4-2. Most of the years they've made the playoffs, they've been 5-1 or 6-0 in the AFC West. So the funny thing is, you say that all their road games are in the division are before October 31st. Well, yeah, I guess we'll know by October 31st where this team is going. That's just, and to relate that, everything here in San Diego, from the first column I write, the first story our beat writer Michael Gelkin writes, I shouldn't say every story, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but everything's going to be around the theme of that election.
Yeah.
So when you say that, I'm like, huh, all right, I guess we'll know.
Kevin Acey of the San Diego Union-Tribune joining us this morning on KHDK. Now, Ken Whisenhunt has been a part of this team in the past, and I know that Philip Rivers has had, you know, great statistical seasons before, after, and with him there. But the overriding theme around Ken Whisenhunt specifically with Philip Rivers is that you've never seen him be in more of a rhythm offensively. Do you think that the presence of Ken Whisenhunt alone will help propel that 4-12 team last season into some more wins?
Yes, and you are correct in the things you say. I just don't want to give the impression that Philip Rivers had anything to do with 4-12 last year, or that Ken Whisenhunt not being here, or if had he been here last year, it would have made them better. There was this conglomeration of events that was really startling, that they could just never get out of the spin, the free fall that they were in. But Ken Whisenhunt, 2013, came in, and to say he saved Philip Rivers' career would not be accurate, but revived it, you know,
mm-hmm.
Coming off a 2012 in which Philip could not get out of his own way. And truly had sort of, you know, needed a change, and they changed the offense. They changed that rhythm. They saw eye to eye, and I don't know if you've ever met Ken Whisenhunt, but he has a manner about him. 2013 was Mike McCoy's first year as a head coach, and Ken Whisenhunt was kind of like head coach B or 1A. He really helped, and he has a presence that really, I think it plays well with the players. It calms people. He knows what he's talking about. And heck, he's a good offensive coach. And their offensive coordinator last couple years, Frank Reich, a good man. Where is he, in Philadelphia now? A good man, learning on the job. I'm not going to say he'll never be an offensive coordinator. He was in completely over his head. Look, I've been covering this game for a long time. I do a lot of things to try to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. But let's face it, I'm not a coach, okay? Mm. When I am routinely correct, when I'm pointing out the things that Frank Reich could do or should have done, that's a problem. And that will not be happening with Ken Whisenhunt. Ken Whisenhunt has a plan. He knows how to make the run game work, make the quick passing game work, mix things up. Yes, Ken Whisenhunt will make a big difference. So, look, they could have had me or you as offensive coordinator, and I think they'd be better than 4-12. I mean, it really was startling.
Not bad.
The team only won four games.
Hey, last thing for you, Kevin, and this has been bugging me the whole time. Maybe the most important question of the interview.
Something I said?
No, it's well, technically,
something,
yeah.
Something I said.
See, I've heard it. I've heard both ways, Kevin. I've heard Tribune and Tribune, and you've worked there for a while. Is there a proper pronunciation?
San Diego Union Tribune.
Tribune.
Like the emphasis on the tri.
Tribune. No, no. I think we just emphasized the bune on that.
Tribune.
Tribune.
Well, I guess you could, but I went with like a strong lead, like San Diego Union Tribune.
Tribune.
Like that. Now,
this is like
the
most important question we're asking you here today, you know, so we got to get it right.
It is.
I bet you it's regional, because like maybe in Chicago, which, by the way, the sister paper, we're owned by the same company. You know, maybe they speak differently there, right?
Right.
Maybe it's different. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, well, they're cold half the year, so.
Kevin Acey writes for the San Diego Union
Tribune.
There you go.
I'm just trying to say it all the same.
Hey, thoughts and prayers with me. It's really humid, okay?
Oh, yeah, they might break 90 today in San Diego. Good luck this year. And as Kings fans, listen, we went through this. We're rooting for you guys to keep that team. Hope everything works out down there.
Yeah, it's important to the city. Hey, take care, guys.
All right,
thanks, Kevin.
Thanks so much to Kevin Acey.